POTUS and the head of the Federal Reserve, Mr. Powell, are now proposing negative interest rates, which means, in effect, banks would be paying customers to borrow. It also means that if you have a positive checking or savings, you may be being charged that negative interest rate as well to maintain your money in the bank. This nuance of negative interest rates is unlikely to be disclosed by the Trump administration, as POTUS tries to pass off the blame for the result on the banks. This is clearly complex economic theory, but this theory does have claws that might scratch you. It appears Florida may have weathered the pandemic better than other states due to a number of factors that appear to have been properly managed by the governor. There are certainly hotspots, but actions taken in early March appear to have gotten control of the pandemic and limited its damage. The reopening poses a new test to see whether or not the good ideas that they implemented in March will be reversed in May. Let's hope that Florida, in fact, has a positive system that can be adopted by other states. There have been a number of articles carried in the Wall Street Journal and New York Times about students walking away from acceptances at colleges due to cost and the likelihood the school may not open in the fall. Under such circumstances, what would the student be buying? Online courses, at least in the short term? This raises very difficult questions for communities that have colleges in them, as apartments will go unrented, local eateries and bars will have declining usage, the college will be buying less in the way of food and other services for the students who live on campus, and numerous other negative economic impacts will likely ensue. I am sure that students are also concerned about getting a job after they spend a considerable sum to attend college, and thus are making a different economic decision than they might have 6 months ago. This is another economic arena where we are going to have to watch carefully to see how it affects not only local communities, but the national economy. The U.S. March trade deficit has widened as a result of the coronavirus. What is more significant is not the widening of the trade deficit, but the shrinking of trade. Imports declined 6.2% to $232.2 billion, and exports were down 9.6% to $187.7 billion. Simple math gives you the trade deficit of $44.4 billion. Obviously, the decline of both imports and exports is evidence of the economic disruption which is occurring, and experts are predicting it will become worse in April when those results are reported. This is an important area to keep an eye on as we move forward, as changes, either positive or negative, are likely to reflect the direction of the economy. Continuing about our conversation on trade, this week the Canadian dollar hit its lowest in some time at approximately 71 cents. Think of all the bargains one could be enjoying in Canada if travel restrictions were lifted. It's obvious that both economies are suffering, and hopefully we will be able to join together to return those economies to their robust synergies. Adding to the U.S. trade deficit is a 70% decline in travel from Canada and Mexico. Clearly, border towns like Plattsburgh are greatly affected by the lack of Canadian tourism, and how the summer develops in terms of the Canadians' use of campgrounds, arenas, beaches, etc., will have an enormous impact on our economy and revenue of municipalities, particularly in the sales tax arena. Nationally, we have seen a $7.5 billion decrease in travel just in the month of March of 2020, while transport services declined $2.6 billion. The decline of Canadian and Mexican travelers is virtually equaled by a loss of travelers from the UK, Japan, Brazil, and Germany, which fell more than 65%. As protesters gather without masks and without social distancing, their actions raise a number of obviously concerning questions. The basic principle that they are espousing is one of complete freedom, irrespective of the impact on others. If one applied this logic broadly, it would imply that those protesters see no difference between walking into a room with a shotgun, as they are spraying the room with droplets they emit each time they speak or cough. The potential impact is analogous because of serious injury and potentially death. It further appears that they accept the argument that severe illness and deaths are low enough to be tolerated in exchange for opening the economy. That may be a rational debate to have, but that said, if the decision is to open, then it's got to be done in a way that protects everyone's rights, not just theirs. If they fail to see that, then they fail to see what it is to be a human being. Now for humanity at its best. The Choctaw Nation sent $170 to Irish famine victims over 170 years ago. Today, the Irish are sending over $1.8 million to the Choctaw Nation to help fight COVID-19. A blessing upon them both.